And we are live. Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. It is Angie Atkinson, and I'm here with the lovely and talented Lise Colucci. Lise, welcome back.
Thank you.
Pleasure. So, yes. So today we thought we would talk about how it is when, let me just mute myself, what to do when you're angry at yourself after narcissistic abuse. When you feel that you realize, I don't know about you, but I realized that I should have known better. I thought I should have, right? I'm really good at reading people. I should have never missed this. And then I thought, was I just desperate? Did I just accept this because I was desperate? I thought a lot of things about myself that made me angry during that process. How about you, Lise?
Oh yeah. And even when you're trying to understand things and you do know better, mm-hmm. and you know you should not be dealing with this, and you are trauma bonded, and you can't, it feels too hard, or it feels too scary, or whatever it feels for you to get out. And mm-hmm. a lot of people, including myself, have had a lot to work through with forgiveness towards oneself, because there's a lot of time wasted and a lot of energy wasted and a lot more heartache that you're dealing with because of how prolonged it gets.
Yeah. It's outrageous. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, everybody. Hey, Chris, Jack, Hufflemom from the Mod Squad in the house. Welcome back, and welcome to everyone else in the chat today. Good morning. Good morning or good afternoon. So as far as it goes with forgiveness of yourself, how long did it take you, Lise, to get there?
I think it's a process that is always sort of rearing its head and evolving toward a forgiveness, because I think this kind of thing sticks with you for a long time, especially if you've had trauma from growing up to deal mm-hmm. with and that. So I can't answer that as a time frame, but the part where directly to staying too long, not super long. Once I realized that there's things I can do to sort of get past it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes a big difference. Yeah. So when you, and everybody pay attention to the reminders that Hufflemom is putting in the chat right now, they will explain to you how to get back here next week and more about what we're doing here and what we're talking about. Okay. Mm-hmm. With all that being said, I know. So I've had a lot of clients who there's like a sort of a grief process mm-hmm. when you realize you've been with a narcissist or you are with one. And then you have to first grieve, like, okay, I thought it was this, but it's actually that, right? Then you have to realize that you've spent months or years or decades within this false reality, mm-hmm. right? And so everything that you thought was true about the relationship is not, right? So at what point, you know, for me, that was, I mean, okay, so like, let's start with my mother. When I realized my mother was a narcissist, like literally everything that I thought had been real, I questioned. Everything I thought I believed, I questioned, because so many of those things proved to be like false truths. They proved mm-hmm. to be things that were just her opinion or whatever that mm-hmm. I had sort of absorbed as fact. Did you have any situations like that?
I have seen it, and yeah, definitely situations like that. And I've seen it, watched it being played out with people who talk to me and their own children dealing with a parallel parenting type of situations, where you can see it playing out where the child has a belief and you're like, mm-hmm. whoa, what'd that belief come from? That's not a truth. That's somebody else's right. opinion being planted in your head. And then later on, as you grow up, that's things to you have to realize you've taken on as your own, not because you meant to, because it was programmed into you. But there's guilt yeah. and there's shame around it.
So much. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the thing, shame. Let's mm-hmm. let's talk about shame really quickly, right? Because I think that is, for me, I mean, like, not just, maybe not as much, maybe some with the parent, because I was shamed by the parent, but in the romantic relationship, a tremendous amount of shame. Mm-hmm. Not only was I shamed on the regular by the narcissist, but I shamed myself and I felt mm-hmm. shame, mm-hmm. you know, because number one, like I said, I couldn't believe I fell for that crap. Mm-hmm. but I didn't know at the time when I first started to recognize what was going on, I didn't realize fully that I had been primed for this from childhood. I was taught that I was not good enough, that I was less than. And so I basically was just doing what I was raised to do inadvertently, even though I'm sure that wasn't the intention of the parent. The parent, I think, preferred a mini parent, but yeah. So do you think that, well, let me ask you, like, so when you, I know you did, I know you do a lot of group coaching, and I know mm-hmm. one of the things that, have you seen this in your groups where people have a lot of shame around?
That is one of the more common things people eventually come to after the trauma bonding part, mm-hmm. where they're even during. One piece of it that's interesting to me always is, you know, I tend to deal with a lot of, or not deal with, but talk to a lot of people who are incredibly empathic and very kind and very loving and very giving mm-hmm. and very, and also maybe what you might call codependent, but I try not to use that word too much, but more like giving, overly giving in order to get love type of situation. Mm-hmm. And because of that, they tend to feel a lot of guilt when they leave, guilt for not going back, guilt for, and shame for not forgiving mm-hmm. the toxic person when they hoover. They fall for the hoovers because of it. And all of that then becomes shame towards oneself for how could I fall for the hoover? How could I, you know, so it's all like one big twisted thing. So yeah, I see it a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And do you think that a lot of those came from a lot of the people that struggle with that? Do you think, well, I'll just say this. I know from my own experience with clients, I find that, and I'm sure I'm wondering if you're finding a similar thing, a large percentage of them have some sort of trauma in childhood that mm-hmm. allows them mm-hmm. to, right?
Yeah.
And like I said, kind of primes you, right? For mm-hmm. that sort of
It sure does.
Thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, I have probably only had a few clients. I have one right now who had like a really great childhood. And this one is interesting because it's a friend that she's dealing with. And the friend is just like, has taken over her entire life.
Ugh.
And it's awful. But she's never dealt with anything like this. And so by nature, she's just kind of soft spoken and just kind of very polite and sweet and kind, but never has dealt with somebody so manipulative. And so it's not like it's harder or easier, you know what I mean? But it's a whole other dynamic in that case. And I wonder here in the chat, how many of you were raised by narcissists or at least experienced some serious trauma in childhood and then also ended up with someone who was toxic and abusive, and whether it was emotionally or otherwise, let us know in the chat.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing too, that the shame is taught to you because mm-hmm. you're taught as a child or a young person when you've been raised by a narcissist to take the responsibility for everybody else's stuff.
Yeah.
And then when you have something bad happen to you and someone is absolutely 100% wrong toward you, you still think that is your responsibility to take it on.
Right.
And when you don't, and when you don't, and you leave them and you start pointing the finger back where it belongs, there's the shame. Like it's, yeah, it's hard.
Mm-hmm. It really is. And it's just incredibly, I think people just become very overwhelmed. So, mm-hmm. and I think when you have the shame and then you get angry at yourself at some point, I hope everybody gets angry at the narcissist, but it doesn't usually happen as early, right? As you would hope. But today we're going to focus on when we get to that place where we're, you okay?
Yeah, I have a bat about to happen. I was like, squirrel, there is literally a squirrel every time. And I can't control the squirrel train out there.
Darn squirrels.
Dang it, it literally is a squirrel. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm gonna close the door now. I will be right back.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, we're gonna jump into the chat while she's doing that.
I'm right here. I'm just
like, cuteness. Okay. All right. Hello, everybody. We've got Shayna said she was going through this question in her mind today, was, you know, about the, how do you forgive yourself? Right. So we're mm-hmm. going to talk more about that. And then hello, Misfit Basis, Rory, Mystique, everybody. Welcome back. Hello, Kelly. Kelly, thank you. She says, Angie, I just want to say thank you. And and she says to you, she wants to say thank you. Love to you. Okay. And then she says, John Kelly says, I have two gal pals in the Narcissist Survivor Club. Well, that's really good. Survivors are better than victims. I mean, not better than, but it's better to be, you know, to be to that stage than mm-hmm. stop. Nobody's better than anybody, except we're all better than narcissists.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
That sounds funny. We're nicer people at least, okay?
Yeah.
Adrian says, I was angry because the way my narcissist mother treated me and the people around her are crazy. And also, when you know the truth and others don't know, so they mess things up. And that's really true. I think a lot of us can relate to what it feels like when, like she says, the people around her are crazy. And when they don't know the truth, you know, it's hard to see a narcissist being like treated like they aren't what they are, or being sort of lifted up and, oh, poor you. And I've seen so many of them play the victim, and, you know, during smear campaign and whatever, in order to get more supply.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a standard. I wonder how many other people have experienced that. But yeah. Do you want to speak on, and being angry about the way that your mother, her mother treated her, and then coming, you know, the people, the flying monkeys, believing everything. Do you want to speak on that? Or thoughts about it?
Okay. Yes. It's a long story, so I'm going to try and make it really short.
Okay.
When you are on the receiving end, so we're gonna go into the flying monkey people, the ones that aren't bad people, the ones that are being convinced, the ones that, not the people that would take her side because they like gossip, not the people that are out there to hurt you. The people that are doing it don't know they're doing it, believe it, and you get good people that you lose in your life, those people. When you're on the receiving end of a smear, when you are the flying monkey, or they're trying to make you into a triangulated, it is the most strange and uncomfortable position. I had the opportunity recently to have this literally happen. And I sat there going, there is no way I'm going to be made a flying monkey, but I will watch what happens. And it is so uncomfortable to receive a smear about your friend or family member that all you can do is agree with the narcissist to shut them up. So as they're going, did you know that they're this? Oh my gosh, they did these things to me and that to me. And they start playing the victim. They never call me, as the mother narcissist says. They are you know, they just turned their back on me and walked away. All the person can say in their discomfort is, wow, that's really all, you know, it's all they can do. Or they have to call her on it. And then this happens with them and they don't want that. It's super uncomfortable. It is super. And people don't know that they're being made into a flying monkey. They don't know what that even means. And so then they come in good faith and be like, why did you do that? You know, it's your mother. You should try and blah, blah, blah. And wow, super frustrating. So the unfortunate part is that they can't understand it.
Right.
They can't get it. Unless, and even when you're sitting in the position of knowing what I know and how much I deal with it, still having it happen, you're part of your head starting to believe them.
Absolutely.
Even then, and then you pull back and you're like, what? No.
Yeah.
No victim playing here. No, stop it. Yeah.
It's really bad.
It's really bad. They are so convincing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a longtime client who her father was leaving her all these voicemails, and she was, you know, letting me hear the voicemails, and he sounded so like sweet and just like a really nice guy. And for a minute I was like, huh. I knew she wasn't lying.
Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Oh, but yeah.
They're so smooth sometimes.
It is so smooth. And so not that I would say, you know, oh, it's okay. Those people shouldn't, it's, you know, just forgive them. Right. But understanding that that's what happens, it makes me even more angry.
Me too.
But at the same time, there is not, the only thing you can do about it is hold your head high, be yourself. Don't respond or react to the smears. And yeah, I mean, it's right to be angry at that. It's something you can't get, what's the word? Not justice, but it's, my words are slipping. You know what I'm saying?
You can't get, starts with a V, validation.
Validation, yeah.
In fact, you're invalidated.
You're invalidated by it, yeah.
Yeah,
it's hard.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. Ed Green says, I totally agree, it's a journey. And from earlier when we were talking about this, hold on. John Kelly, this is a great comment. He said, trauma blinded. That's interesting. You know, it's a trauma bonded. It really kind of is interesting because we are trauma blinded, aren't we? Especially when we're still in the relationship or wishing we weren't, right? Yeah. Okay. So we're going to just scroll on down here, and we have one from, okay, Chrissy, who says, I'm not sure he's a narcissist and I'm letting him come back after a year. We have a 33-year history. Mm. Well, Chrissy, I will just say this. I hope that you're right for your sake. But I'll tell you this, they do not change. And I don't know, maybe he's not a narcissist, but maybe you can give us some more information. I know that when Dana has talked about this before, she has said you should make him wait at least 5 years and go to therapy. So, but what are your thoughts on this, Lise?
Yeah, I would say at least five to seven years of therapy, mm-hmm. extensive therapy, and yeah. and then going and then completely changing the nature of the relationship that you're stepping yeah. back into. Mm-hmm. If you have 33 years of history with someone, that's 33 years of proof and track record.
Yeah.
And that is what you look at more to me, more like look at that more than what you're than the promises being made. Yeah. And love hoovering is seductive. And it is to think I have all this history, I've built all this life with someone, I have mm-hmm. all this investment. And then they're gone because you're like, they're toxic, go away. And then they, quote, change, right? Super, super seductive to believe, to want to believe it. And it makes sense, yeah. that, you know, and I don't know, okay. I don't know the history of this person, but yeah, generally right. speaking, yeah.
Generally speaking, right. I don't know the history. I mean, 33 years is a long time. And obviously, you know, you just know that once that person's back in your home and things are going the way they go, that person will be who they are.
Mm-hmm. It'll reveal itself. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And Jack Lumen says to Chrissy, I would say regard his behavior as toxic. Then regard his behavior as toxic and proceed accordingly. But a lot of us have had this sort of doubt. Maybe I missed something here because I don't see any other comment from her on that. But okay.
Maybe he means regard the love bombing or whatever.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's actually what I would. Also, this is a hoover, mm-hmm. like you said. So yeah, absolutely. But a hoover looks like love bombing sometimes, doesn't it?
Sometimes, yeah.
yeah. And sometimes it looks like other things, but okay. Unapologetic Ella, great name. I'm just going to call you Ella from here on out. Ella says, I left the narcissist for 7 months. I was doing a lot better. I lost 20 pounds and I felt free, but I gave him a second chance. And it doesn't look good because I see a sad face emoji there. So, you know what? That's the hard part. You have to remember trauma bonding is very much like addiction. It actually affects the same part of your brain.
Is, yeah.
right. So, I know Lise, you have a lot of knowledge on trauma bonding. Do you want to share your thoughts about this for Ella?
Well, the trauma bonding, it is like an addiction in the brain. So mm-hmm. there's lots of videos on it, but in short, your brain chemistry is reacting to the hoover, reacting mm-hmm. to the loss by seeking back the narcissist. It's literally in the brain chemistry. Right. And so to break it, it can take a year or more to for yep. some people. And it is an active thing where you know, a lot of people seek counseling and coaching or group coaching or whatever for this purpose, because it's so difficult on your own. Mm-hmm. And if you're talking about forgiveness here, this is with the sad face, you know, I let him back and now what? That's what I'm guessing is the sad face.
I think so.
It is normal to fall for a hoover.
Right.
It's not anything to feel shame about. And it's not right. anything to feel, if you feel shame, you're going to stay in it because mm-hmm. you're going to feel like you deserve less.
That's
if you,
right.
If you see it for what it is and be like, whoa, mistake made. Okay. Then, you know. Learn from it and hopefully get out of it.
Absolutely. Yep. Okay. And I would agree with that. And I would say, you know, if this person is in your home, you know, it might be a little harder to get away. If they're not in your home, I would start slipping away mm-hmm. immediately. Yeah. Okay. Hufflemom and Jeff Lumen just celebrated their 2030 anniversary next month.
Wow.
Happy early anniversary.
Happy.
Yeah, and that should be a happy time for me, she said. But for some reason, I feel bad and guilty because our first years weren't good. Okay, well, that makes a lot of sense. But your more recent years have been better, I think, if I understand correctly. And I think that it's really, really important to focus on what you can control. And mm-hmm. what you can control is from here on out. You can't control what happened then. It's already done, right? So I would tell you to think about the strides you've made together, the growth you've done together. You guys have, I mean, you guys work together with us on this channel. I know you work on Lisa's channel sometimes, and you work on some other channels around that. You know, you guys do a lot for the community, and we appreciate you. And I think your relationship might be benefiting from this together activity that you're doing. Mm-hmm. I think you guys are doing great. I know it's not perfect. It's never perfect. But given the background you both have, I would say keep your chin up, smile, and keep going. And I think it's going to get better. I think it already has gotten better, as you indicated here. At least thoughts for them?
Oh, it's just similar to regret is what right. I'm hearing. And if you live in regret, you miss the moment. So, right. I mean, gratitude is what I would say. Be grateful that you've learned the lessons that you needed to learn early on, and that you stuck together and you're able to be happy and healthier now. Of course, it's not perfect, and of course you fight, and of course, you know, there's stuff, but and I think that comes to, like, when you're the same thing, when you're trying to let go of shame for yourself, and you say, oh, I've wasted all this time, all these years, for whatever you've done in your life, whether it be being with a narcissist or like Huffle Mama was saying, the letting go of the regret so that you can live in the present time with some gratitude.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Good stuff. Chrissy acknowledges that she is in fact trauma bonded, and that's why she, I think, is going through what she's going through. And then Ella says, never give them a second chance. And I absolutely agree. Thing is, I think a lot of us, you know, they say, what is the statistic? It takes 7 times on average for people. Now, some people leave and they're gone, and that's that. Mm-hmm. But a lot of other people, they go back and they go back and they go back for different reasons. And you know, some of it is, you know, they don't want to learn how to shave now. And some of it is, like, you know, how people shave. It's a silly thing to say, but you get the point. They don't want to date, is my point. Yeah. They're like, I already know this person.
I already know it. Yep.
Right. Mm-hmm. And even though everything's not fine, I'm used to it, you know. Or the person does the love mommy thing and they try to suck them back in through a Hoover, you know, or they just don't know what else to do. They're so trauma bonded that they can't fathom the idea. Mm-hmm. It takes time, and it's devastating. I mean, they say that, like, divorce, for example, is more taxing to your nervous system and your all that stuff it causes more pain and grief and physical stuff than even death. Mm-hmm. Like, if your spouse died, you would feel less, you would still be devastated probably, but less devastated than if they left you. Which sounds weird.
There's a lot, because it doesn't just end and then you grieve. You've got so right. much entangled in it. And when you're dealing with the toxic person, you've got the healing from it. So mm-hmm. you have to heal from losing a relationship, plus heal from the damage they did in the relationship. It's a lot.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Now this is great from hello to the highly sensitive Wookiee. I always enjoy that name. John says, and living gratitude I have found to be antidotes and process that help recovery. Well, I do find that to be very helpful for me personally, but I know that a lot of survivors aren't there yet. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people find that almost offensive to hear mm-hmm. you say that.
Oh, yeah.
And, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. And that's why I don't say it very often, but only in that specific, you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because, and I get it, because it's so soul crushing.
What do you got to be grateful for? Right.
Right. You feel
that.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so unless you're in the right mind space to hear that, mm-hmm. you may be very offended. Like, some people will tell you that's toxic positivity. Now, I don't feel like that is for me. And I have found lots of reasons to be grateful, even when I thought I couldn't, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm still alive, and I'm still, like, I have a place to live and a place to put my head at night and food and all the things, you know, but when you're feeling so devastated that you don't even know that you're going to go on, that's just not helpful. Right.
It's being grateful can sometimes, it just starts with self-compassion. Mm-hmm. And it's, and that's a better way to put it, you know, just have some compassion for yourself, or, you know, yeah, I always hated it growing up too. It was one of my pet peeves, hearing just be grateful, Lise.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's, and that's the thing. Sometimes that has been used against you. I'm trying to make my camera stops flashing.
It kind of used to diminish your pain sometimes.
Yeah.
And what we want it to do is diminish our pain, but in a good way, not in a shameful way. Actually, you know what? That was used as shame with me as a kid.
Mm-hmm. Speak on it. Let me hear you.
Oh, being told I needed to be grateful when I was sad about something real, and being told I should be grateful.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's hard, right? Mm-hmm. That's very similar to the, you know, if you know, I used to get, and this is, sounds probably going to, you're probably going to think I'm petty, but there are starving children in Africa. I used to be told. Uh-huh. And so you need to eat all the food on your plate because, and I'm like, well, that doesn't make any sense.
If I could ship it to them, I would, Mom.
I would say that, and she would be so not okay with it. Right. But yeah, anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, okay. Let's see. So, but Dawn, you're not making an invalid point.
Let me no, it's a good point. When you're there. Yeah.
But you have to be there. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Let's see here. Chrissy says it's not a second chance. It's more like a 10th or 20th chance. Mm. Chrissy, please make sure this is what you really want. I just don't, you know, that's all I'm going to say. You want
to
say
I'd encourage you to talk it through with someone that, not to convince you one way or the other, but to help you see why it is you keep going back.
Mm-hmm. The logic of it.
The logic of your own logic and for yourself, for your own life.
Right. Right. I don't know what is going on with this camera. It keeps like flashing weird and it's bothering me. I'm trying to fix it. Okay.
I wonder if it's when you move with the filter.
Because I have the background blur on. Is that it? Okay, I'll stop. I blurred the background because I thought it looked better. Okay. Oh, we have a super chat. Thank you from Helpful Mom. She says, thank you. You answered my questions, which are further down. Please disregard them. Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm glad we were able to do that. Big hugs to you, my friend. Okay. We were dancing. Okay. I just saw us like in the replay on the, okay. We're like a couple seconds ahead of the, okay.
There's right.
Small delay. Okay. All right. So we have Chrissy. Okay. Ed. Oh yeah. People are saying that they were raised by a toxic person. Jenny says he broke me down because I was unsure if I was right about him. 33 years together was hard to be sure. Oh, that's the worst. That's the worst because that's exactly what they do. That's gaslighting. They intentionally break you down. They want you to doubt yourself and to doubt their level of fitness, so to speak, to be your spouse. And they want you to think that you can't do any better. Mm-hmm. And so they make you think that they're doing you a favor by staying with you. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's horrifying, and it's quite funny because I was just saying the other day, it's always shocking to me when I look at survivors and I see most of y'all, and I want to say us, but I'm not trying to like brag about myself or anything, okay, but most of us are attractive, intelligent people, and most of the people that I've dealt with in our online support groups, most people I've dealt with as clients, people I've met here, y'all are attractive, intelligent people. You're successful most of the time. You have something, you have a lot going for you, and you don't even know because somebody has told you that you're a piece of crap and you're unattractive and you're not successful or intelligent. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, the reason I'm bringing this up is because one of my clients is absolutely one of them that I'm working with right now. She's insanely beautiful. She's got a career that's out of this world. She owns more than one home. You know, she has her life together. And this person she was married to made her think she was unattractive, made her think she doesn't deserve anything. And I mean, so anyway, one of her friends signed her up for a dating app. and she was shocked that people started reaching out to her. And she was shocked that they're not ready for that. And of course, that was inappropriate for her friend to do that. But on the other hand, there was a moment where she realized, maybe I'm not so gross after all, you know? Mm-hmm. And I thought that was something, but never do that to your friends.
that's a personal choice.
Personal choice. Yeah. But it was interesting. Okay. Oh, Misfit Basis says I came from a narcissist's nest. He said a narc nest. I like that. But yeah, I'm with you. Let's see here. I'm really annoyed by this. I keep seeing the flicker, and I think it's probably because I don't have my face plugged in tightly or something. But because I've had this flicker problem before, and I think maybe it's because I don't have everything plugged in tightly.
Oh, your plugs, yeah.
I set up and take down every day, you know, every time I stream. So, but it's getting really bad. Is it bad right now?
It's, yeah. Mm.
Okay. Let's just get the next question and then I will turn off my camera for a second and fix that.
Okay.
Mystique says I married my mom. Me too, honey. Oh, except yeah. in a male body, but I didn't even realize it at the time.
Yeah.
Do you have any similar stories, Lise?
I hear it all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. How about unapologetic Ella says, covert narcissists are the worst with their nice, nasty, pathetic whole selves, really. So do you want to speak on the covert narcissist for a minute while I fix my camera?
Give me some what about them?
So the coverts, as you know, they are the ones who are, I think I can turn off my camera and still talk. Okay. So those are the ones who, can I do that? I think so.
I don't know. They're the ones who look like they are. I'll just keep talking in case she can't.
Keep talking. I'm still here. Yeah.
There you are. Look yeah, how cute she is. Yeah. Get her pinned.
Okay. Oh my gosh. Okay. So they are the ones who they are sneakier with their whole thing, right? They don't have any sort of,
they don't seem so overtly self-oriented. They're not as charismatic. They're less charming. They mm-hmm. have more of the vulnerable charm or the, they get away with stuff through passive aggressive methods or less, they're not going to take over in a room and,
They loathe themselves.
They often loathe themselves. Yeah. And some of them are even not, they don't seem boastful in any way, shape or form.
Right. They do the poor me thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or just, you can see the self-hatred. Mm. They're charming in the sense of they tend to be more, what is the word? They use plausible deniability a lot, where you can't deny what they're saying is wrong.
Right.
They twist the words in such a way, they're really good at gaslighting and projecting. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they're, that's really true. They're bad. Coverts are no fun.
Not at all.
And I think they're, in my opinion, more prevalent right now.
Yeah, and that's, because a lot of times they will seem like the types who are, am I too loud?
No, okay. You're more muffled than loud, yeah.
Okay, a lot of times, let me see if I can fix that. Gosh darn it, this is very inconvenient for me right now.
Your picture's okay. Cute, yeah.
Oh, thank you, it's a good picture. anyway, okay, well, it's not letting me start my video, which is always awesome. Try it again.
Try it again. Yeah, they tend to be, covert. What were we saying? That is it gonna work? Is it gonna work?
Yeah, I don't know. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay. I'm having technical difficulties today. I'm gonna try it, see what happens.
Let's do it.
Nope, won't do it.
It won't let you back on?
It won't let me come back to the video. No, I don't know why.
That's really weird.
Yeah, it's weird. It's saying, cannot start video. Hmm. Okay, that's all right. We are getting...
We'll just talk to your picture.
Wait, maybe I can try the one that's just on my laptop. Hold on.
There we go. Yeah, it's good.
Okay. Oh, now you guys get to see me without all the good filter. Okay, hold on. Well, you do usually anyway. That's okay. Only the TikTok people know me with the filter anyway. Okay, hold on. Well, that was just a background filter, but still. Okay, let's see if I can do it now. Okay, let's try. Ready? Hold on.
Okay.
Let's try this.
Ooh. I heard a sound.
What is happening?
What is happening?
Oh, am I here? Oh, wait. Start video?
Start video?
Oh. Nope.
Oh.
What?
Well, I am Lee. Elise Colucci, and I am here with the photograph of Angie Atkinson and the voice of Angie Atkinson next to me. Hey.
That's me. I'm just here. That's me.
You just have to pretend her little mouth's moving.
Blah, 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 blah. I know I should go a cartoon. Okay, well, sorry guys. I'm here with myself, I guess. With Lisa, but without myself. Yeah, I don't know what I'm talking about. Okay.
Well, you're just disembodied.
You can still hear me though, right? It's good.
We hear you. I can hear you just fine.
Okay. This is great. All right, everybody. Sorry about that. I could try it one more time. Was it had the picture before and now it has nothing, huh?
Oh, I see the picture.
Right, but they don't see it. That's okay though.
They don't see it, only I see it.
No, yeah, you just see.
Oh well, I see it. So I'm sitting with Angie. Otherwise it's okay.
Oh, it hates me. It won't even start with my integrated one. This is ridiculous and stupid. Okay. That's so I know. Okay, wait, let me try this one. All right, integrated. Hello. Let me try this. Oh, wait, yeah. Nope. Let me try this strange camera I've never seen before. Nope, that one won't work either. Okay, well, this is fabulous. Okay, well, this is what you guys get to see. This beautiful face. That's okay. All right, so. Now I'm just might as well turn these lights off and stop lying myself. Shoot.
You anyway. Have to kick your feet up. That's good.
I mean, I'm saying, like, sit here in the dark. It's fine.
Okay. Yes, close your eyes. Yeah.
This is totally, I'm probably, everybody's like, why are these people just talking about this?
What
okay,
are they
sorry, guys.
About today? I don't know.
This is what we call, this is what we call live streaming.
It happens. Live streaming.
yes. I'm still dressed. Don't worry. Okay. yeah, I know, right? Okay, we're moving on. Okay, so where were we?
I don't know, you got the chat.
Yeah, that's so funny. Okay, highly sensitive Wookiee says, my spouse was raised by the by NS, which was a narcissistic.
Stepmom?
Oh, maybe that's just N's, narcissist.
Okay.
I had an extremely abusive upbringing, not narcissistic parents, but one sibling is a full-blown sociopath with overt tendencies. Yeah. So this explains a lot, right? So I wonder, to the highly sensitive Wookiee, are you and your spouse healthy together? Are you supportive? How are things going with all of that? I'd be interested in knowing that, right? Okay. Highly sensitive, okay. Do you have any thoughts about that, Lise, to share with the highly sensitive Wookiee about we were just talking about all that. Okay. Mr. Basis said I married my sisters. I hope that worked out well. I know you don't mean that literally, but in some aspects of the abusive brother. That's hard. Yeah. That's hard. Hufflemom says, she said I already answered the question. I do want to talk about this just a little bit more. Okay. She says, our first years weren't good because abuse left me believing I wasn't worth my husband's time. Mm. He stayed anyway, and I'm grateful, but I'm still having problems. So I do want to talk about that. And let me read the next comment really quick.
Mm-hmm.
She says, oops, I know I should let the past go since it's not something I can control. Let me scroll back up because I lost myself. Darn it. I don't know. I lost it. Oh, goodness. Okay. Well, anyway. So she felt like she wasn't good enough. She spent a lot of years feeling not good enough, feeling like everything. I keep looking at the camera like you guys can see me.
I know, just stare at it.
I don't want to know. Anyway, I'm all sad. Okay, but let's talk about that because this is legitimate. I think a lot of us go through this when we do get into a healthy relationship.
Oh my gosh, so hard.
Yeah, there's something. Talk about it, Lise. What are your thoughts?
Well, this is my experience is you can do your healing. You can do your stuff on your own, right? Where you're feeling great. You're full of self-esteem and doing better. And then you get in a relationship and all the triggers come up. And even a healthy one, you start to see red flags in a person where they're not having red flags. They're just being a normal person. You become a big red flag because you start running away. You start not feeling good about yourself. It's like the work starts over. For some people, I don't want to scare you away.
but
it's worth it. It's another level of healing. And yes, it's another path in healing, and you got to be ready for it, hopefully. And there is a sense of not being, for each person it's going to be different, but not feeling worth anything, not feeling good enough for this relationship, not being worth someone else's time, not like all of the things the narcissist made you feel. There's right. can come back up in a new healthy relationship. What I've been taught about it, what I've been told by therapists and by other people, who, my dog's gonna sit right there and bark.
Dogs.
Pouring rain. I don't blame her. It just started pouring rain. She's like, what I've been told is, in a healthy relationship, you can work things differently, and it can take a few years. Like what you went through, I think, Huffle Mama, is actually kind of normal, in the fact that you were able to work it together, even if it was bumpy and rocky and you're both stumbling, is kind of how it is, especially when you have two survivors.
Yeah.
You each have your triggers. You each have your fleas. You each have your, you know, all that stuff comes up when you're put you and someone else together, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, if you can work on a way to listen to each other compassionately, listen with empathy, make sure you're being heard with empathy. Mm-hmm. All the stuff that helps create healthy communication, it actually does start to unwind some of these beliefs about yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Now this one, I'm going to just jump off of and we'll talk more about that in the future, but this one, Luna and Jenny both have a similar concern. That Luna says, what if my ex comes back either to show up at my door or contact me on the phone? How do I respond to repel him? I was thinking of telling him I'd file a restraining order, but ideally I don't want to. And then Jenny says, yeah, I feel worried he'll come for me in the future. Is this normal, or am I being dramatic? Okay, A, you're not being dramatic. Mm-mm. They almost always come back at least once, if not multiple times. And when that happens, the best thing is if you're healed when that happens, but of course it doesn't always work out that way. So A, be strong and make sure that you're not, that you know exactly what you will say or do in that moment. So let's say he comes to your door, or he tries to contact you on the phone. Do you really need to answer? I would say no. Mm-hmm. But if you do, if you feel like you can't not answer, then you need to know what you're going to say. So if you really don't want this person back in your life, you might say something like, no thanks, I'm good. or say, you know, if you don't leave me alone, I will file a restraining order, if that's something you have to do. But I think ideally, if you can just not let him contact you, you know, if he comes to your door and you're scared of him physically, call the police. If he calls you on your phone, you know, either block his number or put in there, do not answer, it's this guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, as his contact information. Or give him a weird ringtone, you know, or no ringtone. Make it be silent and automatically go to voicemail. So you have time to think before you respond to anything. I would not respond. You don't owe him anything. I mean, if you guys have kids and you have no choice, that's different. And then you just keep it minimal. You talk on court-approved apps, et cetera. Lise, what are your thoughts?
I think if you are feeling scared for things like this, if the person isn't physically dangerous, okay, right, it's a different situation, but if they're not physically dangerous and you're feeling scared, what you can do to help yourself is prepare. When you're more prepared for something, you're less afraid. And what Angela is describing there is being prepared. Having some lines you're going to say is perfect. It'll be different. You know what you feel and what you, it's hard to talk when you're not actually talking to the person, but
right.
It could be anything like she said, you know, it could just be, I answer the door, say, I'm not interested in speaking to you, goodbye, and close the door.
Right. It could be simple.
Really simple. And I would keep it simple, in fact, so that you're not standing there giving them a whole lecture and speech, and then because know that if you are in that case, if you are hoovered at your doorstep, they're going to try to engage.
Right.
So if you engage and you catch yourself mid engagement, what I mean by engage is back and forth conversation. Mm-hmm. You can stop at any moment, like you would with a solicitor, like you would with anyone unwanted on your doorstep.
Right.
You can tell them no, thank you, goodbye at any minute. It's your, you don't have to, you don't owe them anything.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. Yes. All right. I see that we are getting close to the end of our time today. So I'm really sorry about this camera situation. I don't know what happened. I got a new camera and everything, but yeah, like I think if I were to restart, it might do the trick, but maybe I'll, I don't know. Maybe I should restart before I start sessions from now on. I probably should have done that, but anyway, all good. So let us know, everybody, what you want to talk about next week. You can tell us here in the chat. You can tell our moderator, Jack Lumen, and he will pass it along to me, or you can leave it in the comments below if you're watching on the replay. And we absolutely, wait a minute. I just want to say this. The highly sensitive Wookiee says, it hurts, but I don't feel any guilt about my decision, I think about going no contact with family, though my other family and my spouse have tried to guilt trip me about it. Let me say this, there's absolutely no reason that you should feel guilty. And also, I'm sorry that you're going through that. And your feelings are valid. Lise, do you have any final words of wisdom for our amazing community today?
I guess that it's normal to feel shame and guilt around yourself, about yourself, or towards situations when you've been with a narcissist. It's normal. It isn't actually something you need to hold on to forever, though. And there are ways to work through it. It does take time. It's a slower process than maybe you want, but there it is. Right.
Yeah.
Right. And a lot of times just getting the validation you need can be a big step toward that. So go seek that validation, and it's okay to seek that validation because that's what we need.
Okay, everybody. Helpful Mom is sharing some reminders in the chat that will help you to know what's happening next and how to get back here next week for the stream. Lise, yes, you will be live streaming when?
I was thinking about hopping over there in a few minutes because I want to talk more about what it's like to be a flying monkey.
Excellent. Okay, guys. So Huffle Mom's sharing this information in the chat. I'm sure she'll be Lisa's channel here too.
I haven't looked at my calendar past this point. So if I'm free, I will. Otherwise, I'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah. So keep your eye out for Lisa. Oh, and make sure you subscribe as Huffle Mom here, number 3A, if you're interested in knowing when Lisa is about to go live. You can subscribe that way to Lisa Live to 33222. And we will speak to all of you next week. Watch for new videos coming your way very soon. And big hugs and love to you. I'm sorry again about my camera. I don't know what the heck happened, but I'm going to try to fix it for next time. Thank you to our mod squad. We love you all, and we love everybody who showed up. Thank you. Have a wonderful week. And please, I'll see you soon.